This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now, Health Equity Matters has issued a stark warning. Global progress on HIV is at serious risk of being undone. The National Federation for Australia's leading HIV and LGBTIQA plus organisation says critical international funding cuts could lead to millions of deaths and new infections by the end of the decade. And the warning comes in response to a new UN AIDS report projecting over 4 million AIDS-related deaths and 6 million new infections by 2029, unless urgent action is taken. And the Indo-Pacific region, where much of Australia's HIV and health diplomacy is focused, is particularly vulnerable. Well, joining us is Dash Heath Painter, CEO of Health Equity Matters. Dash, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure, and thanks for having me on your program.
This new report paints a pretty grim picture. What kind of tipping point are we looking at here?
Look, it is a really grim picture, and for people working in the HIV sector, it has been a difficult few months. In fact, really now 6 months since the inauguration of the Trump administration. The US government, and it really comes back to huge cuts that have come from the current US government on funding that America has enabled throughout the world and including in our region, and particularly through agencies such as USAID and PEPFAR, the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. What we're seeing is effectively the closure of these programs and the dramatic reduction in funding in PEPFAR, which has enabled huge and critical programming around the world, which in turn has driven up treatment access and access to prevention services like PrEP. And these have been cut drastically. And they're also, which is really important in a country like Australia, where we have a concentrated HIV epidemic, that funding cuts are being targeted at priority populations. So particularly gay and bisexual men and trans people, sex workers and people who use drugs. And so we're seeing already marginalised populations at risk of being further marginalised because of cuts to critical programming that are targeted to their needs. And this new UN AIDS report forecasts really a terrible toll on global health.
This sounds very similar to, I suppose, the Reagan administration in some ways, doesn't it, in terms of not providing funding for research?
So the Reagan administration did take, I think it was close to 5 years to even recognise HIV, or back then it was known as AIDS, as a condition in the US. I think they'd reported over 12,000 deaths before he raised that issue. But it's worth remembering that PEPFAR, as I mentioned before, the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, was actually initiated by George Bush Jr., so a Republican president, and it was initiated in the early part of this century to drive up investment in programming that could enable treatment access across the world. And of course, in the early part of this century, we'd just learned how powerful treatment was at not only improving a person's health, but most importantly, from a prevention perspective, at preventing onward transmission of HIV. And so what this initiative did, the PEPFAR initiative did, was it enabled treatment to be rolled out across the world, and particularly in Africa, we've seen really dramatic reductions in HIV notifications over the last 20 years. But most of those many of those programs have now or are disappearing, and we are seeing many millions of people come off treatment. And the impact on global health, particularly in countries that are low income and lower middle income countries, will be really profound, given that HIV left untreated is a really lethal condition.
How might it play out in the Pacific region, the Indo-Pacific region?
Yeah, so in the Indo-Pacific region, so that's our region, that covers countries that are in the Indian Ocean and the Pacific Ocean. The epidemics in our region are largely concentrated. And so what I mean by that is that the populations affected by the condition are generally very identifiable. Some of them are a bit more complex, but if you think about Australia, the primary population is gay and bisexual men, and of course we have other communities like culturally and linguistically diverse communities are also at high risk of HIV, but it's concentrated among those communities. It's not generalised. And our region generally has concentrated or key population epidemics. And what that means is that unlike in Africa where it's generalised, so everyone's at risk of it, a bit like the flu, you need very targeted programs that really position communities at the front of the programming so that those programs meet the needs of particular populations such as gay and bisexual men or sex workers or people who use drugs. And removing funding from epidemic responses that target those communities will leave already marginalised communities much more exposed to extremely poor health outcomes. And there's also a real risk that countries will use laws such as criminalisation laws as strategies to deter prevention, and we know that criminalisation won't work. So really, this is going to have a really critical effect on the rights and the health and well-being of marginalised populations in our region who are already at much greater risk of HIV and poorer health outcomes.
We're speaking with Dash Heath Painter, CEO of Health Equity Matters, about the urgent global warning from UNAIDS and why cuts to HIV funding could cost millions of lives. Dash, are we already seeing signs on the ground that services are being disrupted and scaled back?
We are, yeah. So many of these organisations that receive USAID and PEPFAR funding have been were established because of these programs funded by these agencies, and their sole line of funding, or their sole line of finance, as it were, was funding from USAID and PEPFAR to deliver these HIV programs. So once that funding stops, there's no other funding for most of these organisations to exist, and so they collapse and disappear. And what you lose with that is a profound human capital in addressing health threats such as HIV. But of course, these organisations didn't just deal with HIV. They were also a point of healthcare that many people felt comfortable, particularly marginalised populations, to access. And so while they were funded to deal with HIV, you had doctors and nurses who were able to support people with other conditions and other conditions that were related to HIV infection. And so what we'll lose is enormous access to health records, to real knowledge of the way communities operate and the health services these communities need. And this is going to really have an incredible impact on the health of regions around the world.
For people listening here, how is this a shared problem and not just something that is happening over there?
Yeah, so we should always see ourselves as global citizens, and I think you're referring to people in Melbourne and Victoria and Australia. We should always see ourselves as global citizens, and Australia has a terrific record in responding to HIV. Of course, there are imperfections in our response, but we have achieved very highly, and we have capability skill and specialisation in this country that can support epidemics in our region and around the world. And so funding agencies should be supporting countries like Australia with expertise in addressing HIV to support efforts elsewhere. And so while we need to, of course, continue to address HIV domestically as a country, we should see ourselves as doing internationally, doing just as much internationally as we do domestically to address this health threat. Because, of course, it's not just about ending HIV in Australia. We need to end it globally, because conditions like HIV don't know borders. And while it exists around the world, it exists as a risk to Australia as well.
Before we finish up, despite these warnings, do you think it's still possible to end HIV transmission? And what would it take us to get back on track and avoid sliding backwards?
So it's absolutely possible to end HIV transmission because we have the resources to end and to stop transmission. We have very effective, and I'm not just talking about Australia here, I'm talking globally. We have very good testing capability. We have PrEP, which is effectively bulletproof at preventing HIV acquisition if taken as prescribed. And we have treatment, which is very powerful at stopping onward transmission. The key to achieving virtual elimination is investment in programming that ensures that no one is left behind, that everyone has access, whether you're living with HIV or at risk of HIV, to the testing and prevention and care services you need. And that doesn't come from volunteer workforces, or it doesn't just happen something you pulling a rabbit out of a hat. It needs investment, and it needs investment from high-income countries, and it needs investment in multilateral agencies like the Global Fund, and it needs investment from big countries that have huge capability like the US, in agencies like USAID, even though it's now gone, and PEPFAR. So we absolutely can achieve virtual elimination, and we should, because we have access to the resources and interventions that can do that, but we need continued investment. And what's happening at the moment with the loss of investment is we will reverse. And at the moment, I am very doubtful, at least in my lifetime, with the way things are going, that we will achieve virtual elimination, which is a huge shame when we have all the resources to do it.
It's very sad to hear as well. Dash, thank you so much for joining us today on Drive.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Dash Heath Painter, CEO of Health Equity Matters.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.